So there's an amazing phenomenon. Last week we spoke about how Hanukkah is it's completely rooted in rabbinic law and rabbinic enactments. So it's modeled heavily after Torah principles that exist by the menorah, but it's a rabbinic enactment, and it's really a holiday that highlights our tradition and our Torah Sheba'al Peh, specifically our oral traditions. That's the whole institution of rabbinic law and rabbinic institutions is that it's a power that's endowed through the development of Torah Sheba'al Peh, through the development of the oral law and the oral traditions found in the Gemara. And that's really the entire source of even the history of Hanukkah is in the Gemara and in the Midrashim. It's not found in any written text. So it's an interesting phenomena that all sects of Judaism, even those that have at least in policy, denounced Torah Misinai or denounced the concept of Torah being able to be that the Torah is unchanging. Everyone celebrates Hanukkah, right? Even the most secular Jews celebrate Hanukkah. I don't know, I don't know, nor do I really necessarily care to know the statistics on the difference between Hanukkah, being celebrated in, let's say, like the Pesach Seder, but I think the Pesach Seder is celebrated by a lot of secular Jews. But Hanukkah is something that has become culturally a very, very Jewish thing, that even the most secular, those that would otherwise denounce rabbinic law, would all practice Hanukkah, and its entire institution is that of rabbinic. And even the Rambam says, he writes, if you take a look in the first source, that really Hanukkah is the most beloved mitzvah. The mitzvah that's held most dear is the language Rambam uses. He says in source number one, the entire source sheet is in Hebrew, but like we always do, we translate everything and explain everything. But the Rambam writes, in source number one, line number one, across from the arrow by the underline, he says, "Mitzvah ner Chanukah, the mitzvah of Chanukah candle is mitzvah chaviva hi ad me'od. It is the most beloved of all the mitzvos, is that of Chanukah. It's the light of the Chanukah lift, the light of the Chanukah, the most beloved of all of the mitzvos." And a person needs to be very scrupulous to ensure that they light Hanukkah candles appropriately in order so that they can publicize the miracle. Now, it's important in order to appreciate this statement the Rambam is making is that the Rambam is not writing this in Mor Nevuchim. He's not writing this in his book of philosophy. And he's not even writing this in his, some of his other writings of letters. He's writing this in Mishneh Torah. Now, Mishneh Torah, the Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, who is arguably the greatest rabbinic scholar to live in the last 200 years, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said that every word of the Rambam's Mishneh Torah carries halachic significance, carries significance on a level of Jewish law. It's a code of Jewish law. And therefore, the Rambam wouldn't just drop a line of that's a philosophical line in the Mishneh Torah if it was not something that was based in halacha. So from a halachic standpoint, why is it that Hanukkah is the most beloved mitzvah, right? Sociologically, that's an interesting discussion, why it became so beloved. But halachically, we're seeing in the Rambam that it is the most beloved mitzvah. The question that we need to address tonight is why? Why is that the case? Why is Hanukkah such a beloved mitzvah? So the presentation we're going to give tonight is based off of the Avnei Nezer we've mentioned in the past, the Sukkot Chavah Rebbe, Rav Avram Bornstein, 1838 to 1910. The Sukkot Chavah Rebbe that Reb Chaim referred to as a super genius. He had a Hasidus, but also was a master, an absolute master in Talmudic law. He wrote responsa that are recorded in his book, Avnei Nezer. He also wrote a celebrated work in the laws of Shabbos called the Egle Tal. An incredible, incredible Talmud Chacham. So the presentation we're going to have to address this question of why Hanukkah is so beloved is heavily based off of a response of the Avnei Nezer. And he's dealing with another issue. The Rambam, if you continue, he writes the following. He says in the next set of underlines, in the end of line number three in the first source, he says, Afilu, line number four, Ein lo ma yochal. Even if someone doesn't have what to eat, ela min hatzdaka, except for the money they receive from tzedakah, meaning they're completely supported by the local charities, shoel o mocher ksuso, they'd have to rent or sell the shirt off their back. Line number five, elokech shemen veneros umadlik, and in order to get the wicks and the oil for them to be able to light Hanukkah candles. A person has nothing to their name. They have mamish, no cash. Nevertheless, they have to sell the shirt off their back so that they can light Hanukkah candles. Now, that is absolutely fascinating. That's absolutely fascinating. That's the first thing we find about Hanukkah, that we find by seldom other mitzvos. And we'll see why we don't find this by other mitzvos. In fact, we'll just say it right now why we don't find this by other mitzvos, because that's not allowed by other mitzvos. The Gemara in Masechet Ksubis, the bottom of the page in source number three, tells us that we are not allowed to be that extreme when it comes to fulfilling mitzvos. When it comes to negative commandments, the Rama writes that you would have to give up your entire bank account prior to violating a negative commandment. But when it comes to a positive commandment, when it comes to fulfilling a mitzvah, shaking lulav, eating matzah, wearing tzitzis, tefillin, these positive commandments are, Hashem is not interested in us going broke in order to fulfill these mitzvos. In fact, the language the Gemara has at the bottom of the page, on page one, in source number three, line number five, by the underline, it says, "Hamevazbeis," that if someone is going to be spending money to do their mitzvah, "Al yevazbeis yosher mechomesh," you're not allowed to spend more than a fifth of your bank account in order to fulfill a mitzvah. Which means that if, let's say, a person, God forbid, is in a very, very tough financial situation and they simply just cannot afford a lulav and esrog, and they'd have to spend more than a fifth of their bank account in order to get a lulav and esrog, they're not obligated in lulav and esrog that year. It's as simple as that, right? You'd have to figure out another way of getting lulav and esrog, or if it's not possible, you just can't fulfill. If matzah is just too expensive and you simply just cannot afford matzah, you're going to go broke if you buy matzah. Okay, you can't eat chametz, obviously. You wouldn't have an obligation in the mitzvah of matzah. Hopefully somebody shares with you. Hopefully that's not going to be the situation. But technically speaking, you're off the hook for that mitzvah. You don't have the obligation of that mitzvah. Why is that? So the Gemara continues and it says in line number six, source three, Shema yitzdarech lebrios, because perhaps if a person is going to be spending so much of their bank account on fulfillment of mitzvos, so then they're going to end up being reliant on other people. They're going to go broke. Umaisa be'echad, and then the Gemara says there was once a situation, shebikesh levazveiz, that someone asked the rabbi if they were able to, they wanted to do this mitzvah so badly, and they wanted to spend all this money, but they couldn't afford it, but they wanted to do it anyway, and so they wanted to spend more than a fifth of the bank account on the mitzvah, yoser mechomesh v'lo heniechlo, and the rabbi wouldn't allow them. The Amora in this particular scenario would not allow them. So points out the Sukkot Shavu Rebbe, and really everybody asks this question, which is that, hold on one second, you'd have to sell the shirt off your back in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says that if you're going to have to spend more than a fifth of your bank account to fulfill a mitzvah, you simply don't. This is obviously, we're talking about a situation where the person is in such dire straits, they literally can't afford, they don't have anything. They have to sell the shirt off their back. Of course, we should say you don't have to light Hanukkah candles. That's not what we say. The Rambam says explicitly that you'd have to sell the shirt off your back in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles. This is recorded in Shulchan Aruch also, by the way. The Shulchan Aruch writes the same thing. So why is that? Why would Hanukkah break this rule? Why would Hanukkah break this rule? So that's one question we have on Hanukkah. So the first question we ask is, why is Hanukkah the most beloved mitzvah? Number two we're asking is that, why is Hanukkah breaking this rule of Al Yevaz Beis Yoser Mechomesh, that you're not supposed to spend more than a fifth of your bank account? The Rambam continues. Take a look back at source number one. And the Rambam continues and he brings another interesting practical example of how significant the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles are. Take a look, line number five in the middle, in source number one. The Rambam brings the following scenario. Hare she'ein lo ela pruta achas. Again, this very, very poor individual. They only have a quarter to their name. And you have two mitzvos that you have to do. So you could use this quarter, you could use this dollar, whatever it is. Use a small amount of money, and that's all you have, either to do Kiddush or to light Hanukkah candles. Which one are you going to choose? Line number seven. Hadlakas neros Hanukkah. Hanukkah candles wins. You light Hanukkah candles, use that buck that you have to your name to light Hanukkah candles, and you're just not going to have Kiddush that week. Okay, that's what the Rambam says. Hoyle, he continues and he explains himself, line number seven. V'shneim divrei sofrim, because they're both of equal halachic significance, and mutav lahakdim ner Chanukah sheyesh bo zicharonis, and better to light Chanukah candles because that is a commemoration of the miracle of lighting of the menorah lit in the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara, when it brings down this halacha, uses a little bit of a different language, but the same idea. The Gemara says that it's for the sake of Parsume Nisa, that Parsume Nisa is going to win. So Parsume Nisa, publicizing the miracle of Hanukkah candles, is going to trump Kiddush that week. It's going to trump Kiddush that week. So the question is, why would Parsume Nisa beat out what sounds like another mitzvah? One may have assumed, the Gemara says, that maybe Kiddush the win, because we have a general rule of Tadir, Rishayinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. If you have a more frequent mitzvah to do, coming at the same time as a less frequent mitzvah, you have a triage of mitzvahs taking place. Which one should you do first? You do the more frequent one first. It's a Mishnah Masechta Zvachim. Tadir v'she'eno tadir, tadir kodem. It's why the first karban in the Beis HaMikdash that's brought every single day is the one that's brought every single day. Even on a day where there's other karbanos that need to be brought, the karban tamid, the daily sacrifice, is brought first, because Tadir v'she'eno tadir, tadir kodem. Whichever is more common, more frequent, should come first. But the Gemara says that Parsume Nisa beats this general principle we have of Tadir v'she'eno tadir, tadir kodem. It's interesting. The Gemara brings one other mitzvah that beats Hanukkah candles. What's the one mitzvah that beats Hanukkah candles? If you're going to pin Hanukkah candles against any other mitzvah, you have a triage of mitzvah taking place. The Gemara says Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles. Take a look at source number two. The scenario that's brought up is line number one in source number two. Amar Rava Pshita Li. It's obvious to me, says Rava, Ner Beso V'Ner Chanukah. If I have the obligation either to light Ner Beso, that refers to Shabbos candles, or Hanukkah candles, Ner Beso Adif. I have to light my Shabbos candles first. It trumps Hanukkah candles. Mishum Shalom Beso, because of Shalom Bias. And then he gives also another scenario. I have to make a choice between Kiddush and Shabbos candles. Near base of a Kiddush Hayom, near base of Adif, Mishum Shalom Beso, because of Shalom Bias, Shabbos candles is always going to win. That's really the whole institution of Shabbos candles, at least on a halachic level. On a Kabbalistic level, there's a lot more to it. But on a halachic level, the whole purpose of Shabbos candles was that there's lights on in the house, so people aren't bumping into each other, right? If there was no, that was the only source of light, was at night, if you wanted to see it, to light candles. So if there are no candles in the house, people are going to be bumping into each other, and they're not going to be able to pass the food. No one's going to be able to sit at the Shabbos table. People are going to be getting into fights. So they instituted Shabbos candles for Shalom Bayis purposes. That was the whole institution of Shabbos candles. That's why Tosfos writes, and it's recorded by the Ramah, that before one lights Shabbos candles, they should really turn off all the lights in the house before the Shabbos candles. That way, it's actually going to give off light. When you're fulfilling the mitzvah, you give off light. So what my wife does is she turns off the lights. She makes the bracha, like this is the way that, you know, she lights the candles, turns on the lights, makes the bracha, because it should be that the candles are giving off the light. So she has in mind when she is lighting the candles that she's also now going to go turn on the lights, and she makes her bracha. In order so that there's a light being given off by the Shabbos candles.
What did people do in the old days, because their house, I mean, they lived in parts of their house, they don't have the Shabbos candles, so they bump into each other there.
So that's why it's a whole discussion in the Gemara in Erevin about, let's say the place that I'm sleeping is not the same place I'm eating. Where should I be lighting the Shabbos candles? That's a whole discussion in the Gemara about. But in a scenario where you have to make that choice, where are you going to light that? Where are you going to light Shabbos candles in order so that you can that was Tosa's point, right? That was Tosa's point, that all the lights in the house are all part of the institution of Shabbos candles, right? So Shalom Bayis wins. Now, the Rambam, this is really like a side point to what we're talking about. But the Rambam, take a look back at source number one, the last line by the double underline. And you'll see why it's double underlined. He explains why it is that Shalom Bayis beats even the mitzvah that beats all other mitzvahs, right? It beats Hanukkah candles. Why does it beat the mitzvah that beats all other mitzvahs? Why is Shalom Bayis so important? Says the Rambam, Gadol HaShalom, because having peace is so important. Shekol HaTorah, last line in the Rambam, Shekol HaTorah nitna laso shalom ba'olam. That was the whole purpose of the Torah. The whole purpose of the Torah. What's the meta lesson of the Torah? What's the ultimate lesson of the, what's the ultimate message the Torah wanted to give to the world? What was God's goal through the Torah? Is to bring peace to the world. That's the way the Gemara ends Masechta Brachos, ends it a few other Masechtas. It ends Masechta Brachos, Masechta Nazir, Masechta Yevamos, and Masechta Krisos all end the same way, which is that Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, that Talmidei Chachamim, who are producing Torah for the world, they're spreading Torah in the world. That means they're bringing more Shalom, more peace into the world. That's the ultimate lesson of the Torah. As the pasuk says, "Shenamar darcheha darchei noam." Its ways are ways of pleasantry, referring to the Torah. V'chol nisivos se'ashalom, and all of its statutes bring peace to the world. That was the ultimate. That's the ultimate message of the Torah. So, the one mitzvah that's going to trump the mitzvah that beats all of the mitzvahs, it's going to be Hanukkah candles. It's going to beat all of the mitzvahs. Is a mitzvah that has to do with Shalom Bayis. We find another mitzvah like this, which is that the only time that God allows his name to be erased is to create Shalom Bayis. By the scenario of the sota, that part of the mixture of that the person who is being accused of a sota drinks has the name of God erased inside of the mixture that she's going to be drinking. And there the whole procedure, without getting into the details of it, but the whole procedure of it, of that whole episode of the sota, is with the goal in mind of hopefully she's innocent and the two are able to reconcile their relationship. God says, if that's the case, if the whole purpose of this is to reconcile a relationship, my name is going to be erased for that purpose, meaning that I'm going to allow my name to be let. I'm going to bring myself down in order so that a relationship is built up, because that's the whole purpose of the Torah in the world, is to be Mar B'Shalom, to bring more peace to the world. So the second question that we have over here, again, we're addressing the bigger question of why is Hanukkah so beloved? But we have two questions related to the extremism of Hanukkah. Why is Hanukkah so extreme in two areas? Number one is that if I have to make a choice between doing Hanukkah or any other mitzvah, Hanukkah is going to win. Hanukkah candles are going to win because of Parsumei Nisa, because of publicizing the miracle. And number two is that I even when I have to sell the shirt off my back in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles. Why is that the case? Why is that the case? So there's a... It's a good question. Let's see if the presentation we give will address that. Let's see. So the Avnei Nezer says, in order for us to understand this, we really have to address why is it that generally speaking, one is not obligated to spend more than a fifth of their bank account to fulfill a mitzvah. I know the Gemara said because God doesn't want us to go broke. But still, like, why? I have a mitzvah in front of me, right? Ein mitzvah b'mkom l'shaita. Right now in front of me, I have an obligation of a mitzvah, right? I have to do the mitzvah of shaking lulav. I have to do the mitzvah of eating matzah. I have a mitzvah. I have tzitzis, tefillin, whatever it is. I have a mitzvah in front of me right now. I should have emunah that I'll do this mitzvah, and then I'll maybe by the next mitzvah, okay, I won't have any money, so I won't have to do the mitzvah then. But maybe in the meantime, I should have to extend myself to do this mitzvah as much as I can right now. Whatever's going to happen in the future will happen in the future. Right now, I should have to do whatever I need to do in order to fulfill this mitzvah. Maybe one would suggest such a thing. Says the Avnei Nezer, no. Why is it that one does not have to extend themselves so much to fulfill the mitzvah? Because we have a general principle of ones rachmana patre, that if there's a situation that's out of your control, that if it's just, it's too stressful of a situation that is almost making it impossible to do the mitzvah, so then Hashem forgives it. And he says, it's not okay. Like, you tried your best. In fact, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Mem. Take a look on the back page in source number 6. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin that says that if a person even is trying their best to do a mitzvah, but they simply can't, says the Gemara, not only does God say, I forgive it, God says, I'm going to view it as if you did it. Take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says in source number 6 on the back page, the bottom left corner of the page, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Asi, afilu chishev adam lasos mitzvah. Even a person has every intention to do a mitzvah, but then venenas, and then something out of their control came up, velo asa, and could not do the mitzvah, mala alav hakasav kiilu asa. The Torah is going to view it as if you did the mitzvah. The Torah is going to view it as if you did the mitzvah. You tried your best to do it, but you couldn't. The Torah is going to view it as if you did it. Hashem's going to view it as if you did. Says the Avnei Nezer, why is that the case? Why is that the case that Hashem's going to view it as if you did it? He says, because Hashem's the one in control, right? He's the one that's keeping track of whether or not you did this mitzvah for our relationship or not. It's just as significant for God whether or not the mitzvah was practically done, or a person did everything they could to do the mitzvah, because you still were having that connection with Hashem. Hashem could say, you tried your best, I'll forgive it. Like, don't worry. Don't spend more than a fifth of your bank account to do the mitzvah. You tried your best. Now, is that going to work with regards to mitzvah ben adam l'chavero, mitzvah between me and other people? Of course not. When it comes to mitzvah between me and Hashem, sukkah, lulav, tzitzis, tefillin, when it comes to these mitzvot between me and Hashem, Hashem could say, you tried your best, I'll view it as if you did it. But let's say, paying my workers on time. Say, with regards to paying my workers on time. So there's an obligation from the Torah to pay my workers on time. Let's say they are coming to collect their payment. And I say, I'm sorry, I just don't have the money on me, but I tried my best, right? So Hashem's going to view it as if I did this mitzvah. Absolutely not. It's ridiculous, right? They need their money. They need their paycheck, right? Their own money. So how could you say Hashem's going to view it as if he did the mitzvah, right? With regards to get, the rest of being a get, right? There's a specific guidelines in place of what needs to be done in order to fulfill that particular mitzvah. And it's something that is transactional, meaning there's two sides here. So if that's the case, if there's somebody else involved, Hashem is, it's out of his control in a sense to say, I'm going to view it as if you did it because it's contingent upon somebody else. Very similar to, in order to do teshuvah between me and Hashem, right? So it's just between me and God. But when it comes to averos between me and my fellow Jew, so I could daven all I want and do all the tshuva I want with Hashem, I'm not going to be forgiven. Why? Until my friend forgives me. Because it's Hashem is saying, it's not up to me, it's up to them. There's another person involved here. Says the Avnei Nezer, Parsumei Nisa, all mitzvos related to Parsumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle, are mitzvos that involve not only me, but involve somebody else. I am doing a mitzvah in order to spread a message to other people. If they don't get the message, I didn't fulfill the mitzvah. That's why the Magen Avraham says that if somebody is by themselves and there's no way anybody is going to see their menorah, let's say at 3 o'clock in the morning, they hadn't done the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukiah yet, and they live alone and there's nobody else around. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. There's no way anybody is going to see it because it's the middle of the night. Magen Avraham says you light without a bracha because there's no way to do Parsumei Nisa there, right? If it's during the regular evening time when people are out and people are, okay, then people will see it. Or if there's other people in the household, people will see it. But at a time where you're in the strand in the middle of the desert, do you light Hanukkah candles? There's nobody else around. You light without a bracha, says the Magen Avraham. Because Parsumei Nisa is not only about me and my relationship with Hashem, but it's about other people also. I need to spread the message to other people, says the Avnei Nezer. Probably you wouldn't have to because there's no Parsumei Nisa there. So now the Avnei Nezer says, now I understand why Hanukkah, I'd have to sell the shirt off my back to fulfill the mitzvah. Why? Because Hanukkah is not just about me and my relationship with Hashem. Hanukkah is about other people. It's about spreading this message to other people. So if that's the case, it's just like mitzvos ben adam l'chavero. It's like mitzvos between me and other people, where I can't say I tried my best. Hashem's going to view it as if I did the mitzvah. No, because it's contingent upon somebody else. Hanukkah is also contingent upon other people. And therefore, God can't say, I'll view it as if you did Parsumei Nisa. How? Nothing was publicized. And therefore, how could God say, I'll view it as if you publicized the miracle? That's why you have to go to the nth degree to be able to fulfill the mitzvah, even to the point where you'll sell the shirt off your back. And it's going to break that rule of Al Yivazbeis Yosem Rechomesh, that you're not that you're not allowed to spend more than a fifth of your bank account to fill a mitzvah, because this is involving other people. I need to be able to publicize the miracle. That's also why it's going to beat out every other mitzvah. It's going to beat out every other mitzvah because every other mitzvah is just about me and my relationship with Hashem. Kiddush, me and Hashem, right? Hanukkah candles, me and other people. And therefore, that's why it's going to trump all the other mitzvahs.
So, can you work with one time?
Yeah.
So that would be a...
Exactly. Therefore, no, at no point God could say, you tried your best, I'll view it as if you did the mitzvah. Not possible. It's out of his control at that point. Yeah, Marty. So maybe that's why Shabbos, that's what I was saying to Nora. That was Nora's question. So that's why Shabbos candles will probably beat even Hanukkah candles, right? Because that's about even creating shalom, right? So no, Shabbos candles beats Hanukkah. It's the only one that beats Hanukkah candles. The only one beats Hanukkah candles. The Kiddush Hanukkah candles beats Kiddush. Yeah. There's a couple other mitzvos that have this concept of Parsu Menisa. It's a couple other mitzvos. One is reading the Megillah. The other is the four cups of wine we have at the Seder. The four cups of wine we have at the Seder are to highlight the miracle that God took us out of Mitzrayim. Almost like we're raising a toast. We're trying to publicize to those that are there, everyone else that's there, right? Everyone is publicizing to each other this great miracle that God took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the whole institution of the Arba Kosa Shel Yayin, of the four cups of wine at the Seder. So if you take a look on page two, source number four, the Mishnah says this same halacha of you need to extend yourself as much as possible to fulfill the mitzvah, right? We found that by Chanukah candles. The only other place you're going to find it is four cups of wine at the Seder. Same idea. You extend yourself as much as possible. It says the Mishnah, it says that with regard to somebody who's very poor, lo yiftchulo ma'arba kosher shal yayin, we are responsible to make sure that they have all four cups of wine for the Seder. Afilu menatamchoi, even if they need to go collect charity to ensure they have the four cups of wine at the Seder, they need to make sure they do that. Why don't we say al yivaz bez yosher mechomesh, that he doesn't have to spend more than a fifth of his bank account to fulfill a mitzvah? Again, this is a mitzvah of parsu menisa. Obviously, it's not only about me, but it's about bringing this miracle to other people, spreading this message to other people. And therefore, I have to extend myself as much as possible. That's what the Rashbam writes on the bottom left of source number four. The Rashbam writes this. He says, in line number 10, he says, afilu hachim lo nitnu lo gabay tzedakah, that if the gabai who is in charge of distributing the tzedakah did not give him enough, yimchor esmal busho, you'd have to sell the shirt off your back to fulfill the mitzvah of the four cups of wine. Same thing the Rambam wrote, right? You have to sell the shirt off your back to not only for Chanukah candles, but for also for four cups of wine at the Seder. Again, following the same principle of the Avnei Nezer. Because when it comes to Parsu Menisa, it's about not only about me, but it's about other people. It's about spreading this message to other people. Hashem can't say, you tried your best. I'm going to view it as if you did the mitzvah. How? Nothing was publicized. Same thing by the four cups of wine at the Seder. Now, take a look at this. Rabbi Yerucham Olshin, Shlita, is the Rosh Yeshiva of the Lakewood Yeshiva, BMG, one of the Rosh Yeshiva. So he points out an amazing comment of the Magid Mishnah when he's explaining this whole halacha of that you have to sell the shirt off your back to fulfill the mitzvah Chanukah candles. There's no Gemara that says you have to sell the shirt off your back for Chanukah candles. The only mitzvah we have that by is by the four cups of wine at the Seder, where we have a source in a Mishnah that says you have to extend, you have to even to collect tzedakah in order to fulfill this mitzvah. We only have that by the four cups of wine at the Seder. There's no Mishnah or Gemara that says it by Chanukah candles. We saw it in the Rambam. So the question is, where did the Rambam get that from? Magid Mishnah says, oh, he got it from the Mishnah by the four cups of wine of the Seder, right? Because they're very similar. What's the similarity between them? The common denominator is that they're both mitzvos of Parsu Menisa, of publicizing the miracle. But the language the Magid Mishnah uses to explain this halacha by Chanukah, that you have to sell the shirt off your back by Chanukah candles, is incredible. The Magid Mishnah writes, he says, bottom right corner of page two, source number five. The Magid Mishnah says, Nira, it seems to me, is by the underline, line number three, source number five. Nira, it seems to me, Shalomdu, that the Rambam learned this halachi of the sell the shirt off your back for Chanukah candles. Where did he get that from? What was his precedence? By the four cups of wine at the Seder. Mimash and Isbar, Beperek Zayin, Milchus Chamitzu Matzah. You learned it from the laws of Pesach. Shafilu Anish B'Yisrael, Lo Yiftchu Medalat Kosos. That even a poor person amongst the Jewish people, he cannot have less than four cups of wine. V'hatam Mishum Parsu Menisa, in order to publicize the miracle. Beginning of line number five, the Magid Mishnah throws in a line over here that is incredible. If this is the halacha by the four cups of wine at the Seder, then Kol Shekain, then certainly B'ner Chanukah, certainly this is the halacha by Chanukah candles. Hold on 1 second. Why did the Magid Mishnah say, if this is the halacha by the four cups of wine at the Seder, then certainly it's the halacha by Chana candles. What should he have said? Then similarly, it's the halacha by Chana candles. He should have said, hu hadin, or v'chein hu. He should have used the language of similarly. But that's not what he said. He said, definitely. As if to say, if that's what the halacha is by the four cups of wine, then of course that's the halacha by the Hanukkah candles. Based on what we said, why would that be the case? Exactly. Right? The Magen Mishnah, right? No, Magen Mishnah. There's got to be some ancestral. You got to do a Mi 23 with the Magen Mishnah, Nora. That's exactly right. That's where Rabbi Ruach Moshe explains, based on the Savnei Nezer. He says that when it comes to the four cups of wine of the Seder, your Parsume Nisa, yes, it's about other people, but it's limited to whoever's there. Hanukkah candles is limitless in the Parsume Nisa. Limitless. And now we could answer our original question. What was our original question? Why is Hanukkah the most beloved of all mitzvahs? That's a halachic comment the Rambam is making. The Rambam is saying on a halachic level, it is the most beloved of all the mitzvahs. Why? Because it is the mitzvah, the number one mitzvah that involves the most amount of people. And therefore, it's the most beloved of all the mitzvahs. It's the mitzvah that spreads the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like no other mitzvah does. Like no other mitzvah does. Not as much as any other mitzvah that theoretically one can say, I tried my best, and Hashem will say, I know you did, I'll view it as if you did it. He's not going to say that by Chana candles because it involves other people. When it comes to the Pesach Seder, it's extended. It's only finite, the Parsuma Nisa, just whoever's there. Megillah even. Reading the Megillah in Shul. Just whoever's there. Listen to the story. Hanukkah candles. It's limitless.
In this case, why is it only the God that makes a big deal of life?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you say that, because I actually got a call today from somebody asking me to do... I don't know how public, I don't want to share too much information. They're trying to do something in a very, very public area in San Diego that never had a public menorah lighting before, asking me to officiate something like that. It's a good thing. I know. Yeah. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing that spreading this message on Hanukkah. Now, technically speaking, now it wouldn't be the way they're doing it is not technically the fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's going to be during the day. But I mean, I'll give you an example. I must have mentioned this last time. Maybe I didn't, but it works. It totally works. This concept of Parsuma Nisa. Last year, I think it was last year, maybe it was the year before, it was Hanukkah time. And, I think it was on the Yontif of Hanukkah. I went to go visit somebody in the hospital. I'm actually trying to remember who it was. I'm having trouble remembering exactly who it was. But it was about a year ago. I went to go visit somebody in the hospital. And that Scripps right here. At Scripps Memorial. And I'm leaving, and I got into the elevator to go down to the parking garage down below. And I get into the elevator, and there's one of the volunteers, nice older woman came into the elevator as well, and she says to me, "Happy Hanukkah." So I said, "Thank you very much." She said, "Is today the last night?" I forget what she said. Last night of Hanukkah today? I said, "No, it was like something like the third or fourth day of Hanukkah." I said, "No." She said, "Oh, really?" It's a non-Jewish lady. She says, "Oh, really?" Because I noticed in the lobby they lit all eight candles. So I assumed that it was the last day of Hanukkah, which means that it works. It totally works. It totally works. It's spreading the message of Hakaras HaTov, of gratitude, of the fact that Hashem does miracles for the Jewish people, that the miracle HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, it really does work in spreading the message. Absolutely works. And so that's why this is a halachic statement the Rama made. Mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od, the most beloved mitzvah, nor the mitzvah, it involves so much of a public spread of emunah and bitachon and gratitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the nisim that he does for the Jewish people more than Hanukkah does. Yeah.
This is a very fine
contribute. Yeah.
To ask
this is good. Yeah. Yeah. This is the most beloved mitzvah. Now we understand why. Now we understand why. And we understand why you'd have to, theoretically, God forbid anyone should be in that situation, why you'd have to sell the shirt off your back, why it would beat all of the mitzvos, because it's about spreading this message to other people, and this message needs to get out there. Yeah. All right. We'll stop here for now. Shkoch, everybody. Have a good night.